Good evening, everybody. This is Christopher Buck.
And Liane Elise.
We're with Humanity Healing University, and we are here tonight to discuss with you our latest, the latest stellar code in the Stellar Code Matrix Mastery Program.
Exactly. Tonight we're going, we did a little prologue about the stellar codes and how they work and what is their main function. But today specifically we will talk about the new stellar code that are, you know, on the sky right now, on the calendar, cosmic calendar right now, which is the stellar code Lyra, of the constellation of Lyra. Basically, there are more than one type of constellation. You know, we have many stars and many different groups of stars, you know, competing on the same period on our, you know, the place of the heavenly sky right now and passing through us. But what we chose on this time were certain elements, and we try to choose the codes of the star that more align with mankind in this stage of evolution, at this stage of, you know, enlightenment and shifting and preparing for ascension. We are, for the mundane zodiac constellation, we are crossing the Capricorn influence. And the Capricorn is the interesting constellation. I will make a little, I would say a little history about the archetypical experience in Capricorn, because it's really important to understand that. And from there, we go for the other stars that are in one way or another related to the constellation of Capricorn. Capricorn is a very strange sign because it has in itself two different symbols. It symbolizes at the same time a goat and at the same time a goat that is a water creature. So it symbolizes in mankind on the journey of Capricorn, the man that is able to get to the mountains and get you know, away and apart of the mundane world, go to the mountain and have a straight connection with God, but is also a man that's able to go to the deep side or the unconscious side of mankind. So this is a very big symbol. And the symbol of Capricorn, we're not going to get much on the mythology of it in itself, but the symbol of Capricorn in the ancient times, it symbolized one of the three biggest initiation that any seeker in a spiritual path should traverse before they reach complete enlightenment or complete, I would say, self-mastery or self-awareness of his own personality, self, and Godhead. The Capricorn in itself is said to hold the secrets of the signature of God, which means the nothingness and the all there is in the same idea. This is the biggest signature of God, the ability to be detached from the world, but at the same time feel the deepness of
the world.
And this is a very interesting thing. The experience that it said, tradition says, that every human being should pass through, I would say, initiation experiences as a human being, and you don't need to be in a school of wisdom. You know, you can go to a school of wisdom and reduce your time on learning, you know, direct learning, and reduce your time of learning in the normal school of karma, because you will know and be more attentive. But if you don't follow any doctrine or philosophy or whatever spiritual pattern, you will develop eventually, and you will face independently of what path you are trailing. It's part of the human experience. Five different big initiations, and one of them, the third one, which we, you know, the third more important one is this one, which is called the detachment. Okay, how we see that? we go back and see more or less the experience of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had the experience in the Capricorn on the Bible, specifically when they talk about the experience of transfiguration. His experience of transfiguration was that he got released from all his, I would say, aspects of ego. He, uncloaked himself, or what we say, took off all the, like a garment. He took a garment of the ego off, and he allowed the soul to fully come and take over his physical body. That was the experience of transfiguration. And how this has to do with Capricorn? It has to do with Capricorn because in Capricorn, or on experience, archetypical experience of Capricorn constellation, and some people that are on Capricorn really see that very much. They have very tough lives. They're not easy. They're really not easy. They try to be very rational, but they usually say that the saviors of the world are from the Capricorn sign. But
Capricorn is the elder of the
zodiac, one of the elders of the zodiac. The four last sign are the elders. The four first signs, you know, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and Cancer are what you call the children of the zodiac. The Leo, Virgo, Libra, and there's one that I'm missing. Okay, Leo, Virgo. Yes, Leo, Virgo, Libra, and Scorpio. No. Scorpio are the adults. Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, they are the elders. So the experience of the three last signs, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, are the elder, the challenges of the elder, the elders on the path. It doesn't mean necessarily that somebody that is in Aries would not be able to ascend, because there's another, you know, interpretation of this, and based on elements of your map, or your personal map. This is just as regulating on constellations, not on the micro-universe or microcosmos of man. This is a microcosmos of man, but macrocosmic, a microcosmic vision. So why this experience of Capricorn is the experience of transfiguration? Because in Capricorn, you are challenged to exercise exactly that, to be at the same time in direct contact with your divinity, but it is, you know, be aware and be on the world, but not of the world. But you can go deep on the most dark part of mankind, but you can
ascend
the
heights.
This
is for the concept of Nepsis.
Yeah, well, we get to Nepsis very soon. But this is
sorry, don't need to rush.
Yeah, this is the big challenge. And also, the Capricorn in itself, there's one of the symbols that it's basically, you know, the biggest symbol in Capricorn, which is the horn, that later was known to be the cornucopia. The cornucopia, and everybody knows what the cornucopia
is. It's the horn of plenty.
Yes, but it's the horn of abundance and plentifulness and joyful, and everything that you need, it will come from the cornucopia, which means for us, on the experience of Capricorn, using the cornucopia is we are able to really receive the signature of God in our lives, whatever God, how you call God, divinity, or, you know, you call the divine source, and able to open yourself completely to receive all the spiritual gifts and manifest them, not for your own self, but to, you know, be able to be an active agent to improve, to release, to heal, to bring comfort, inspiration, faith, and hope back in the life of other people. So this is the energy there is in the sky right now. But what we wanted to, and this is the thing that maybe differentiate the stellar codes from other schools, and differentiate the stellar codes that we have, throughout the schools of ascension. There's two types of schools of ascension on Earth right now. One is very much attached to ascension of Earth. So you can opt to ascend with Earth, and those are the codes that you receive. And it's okay. It's good. But the stellar codes, they offer you another possibility. Is the possibility to live in this life right now as an active participant of your multidimensional living. So a human being, when he serves Earth, when, you know, we are.
Well, the first school is Earth Ascension. The second school is Galactic Ascension.
Galactic Ascension, exactly. So when you choose, when a human being chooses to continue on Earth and ascend with Earth, no matter what can be, you know, no matter what's going to happen, it's a commitment to Earth and Earth and her beings. When you choose to serve spirit, whatever spirit will send you, you have to be prepared. Because it's not the same. We have a different, it's very difficult for us to understand creation as we see in three dimension right now. You can imagine how difficult it is to conceive the multi-diversity of creation towards just the solar system. You know, it's already difficult just in our planet.
Look
how difficult it is to understand each other.
We have a finite understanding. We have a limited ability, and the universe itself, or God, is not only limitless and infinite. So it's kind of, our frame of reference is so small that it's hard to grasp the bigger picture.
Exactly. So what the stellar codes give you is the possibility. And right now, at the same time that we are also passing codes that are from, you know, basic from Earth Ascension, we also are attuning and passing codes and experience. And it's not basically just the attunement. We accompany every single person on this program in order to attune, in tune, and activate all their full potentialities based on the outside codes. So you will be able to function not only on Earth, not only on the plane of spirit, and we're talking about 5D here. Some will prefer to work in 4D, even though it's a very
tough.
But, you know, or 6D up. So the stellar codes will give you the vibration to the biggest stars out there, which are not. This is not what is stellar code is not. The stellar code is not serving beings or civilization.
Right. A lot of people will talk about
Pleiades.
The Pleiades or the Antarians or whatever, the Syrians. And you're not working with whatever intelligent civilization may be there. What we're working with is the energetic and the vibrational frequency that's represented by the solar logos of the star
that we're working with.
And one of the interesting facets of it, it's the different solar logi are all tied to the archangels.
And the interesting thing about that is basically why you're not working with the Arcturians. We're not working with them directly, but we work under the directive of the Lord Arcturus, which is the solar logi that oversees all the evolution of all the civilizations that are under his care. So when you receive an attunement on Arcturus, you are not necessarily open the channel for Arcturians.
Extraterrestrial channel.
Yes,
but
you open a little, you know, a degree up. You open a direct contact with the logos of the star Arcturus. So here's what is the difference. Why do we work with Arcturians and Pleiadians, you may ask? Yes, but here's why you have to be attentive, and this I'm going to go back to what I tried to mention in the first part. You look at the Pleiades, for instance, the Pleiades have, you know, we say seven sisters, but actually there are 500.
There's a lot of stars.
500 stars, which means 500 suns. They're visible from here, from us. We may have much more than that. In each one of those solar systems, we have no idea how many planets are there. So should I assume that everyone that comes from the Pleiadians are necessarily good? Is it the same thing that we can say that somebody coming to the solar system, for the sun solar system, for let's say the sun here is Helios. It's Helios solar system. They are good. Can you imagine if we get the pirates out there as humans, and you think, they're good because they're from the solar system, they're going to go there, and they find, like, I don't know.
The point being is this tradition that we're teaching is not based on, as some schools are, on extraterrestrial information or that sort of thing.
But we are working with levels of consciousness of God as you project and trust higher beings of light and love align with his Christ consciousness to expand the universe for the greater good. And now, for you to understand that, we're going to be publishing pretty soon an article about the mind of God in creation and the levels of creation pretty soon. It will be available in the next 3 days or so on the website. But what you actually have is, to understand the mind of God, you have to understand the layers that God had to create in order to reach creation in the minimal level of an atom. If God was to send directly his energy down, it will be directly energy of creation, of eternal love, but will be so intense that could destroy us. So what he did was he created layers of being that decompose this energy in more, I would say, digestible particles or rays that gets to us and can feed individually each being an entire process of creation. So this we will say God the Father or Mother Father God is the first generation of God's love, or the source, the main source. You have God the Son, which was personified on earth by Lord Jesus, Master Jesus. This is God the Son, the energy of Christ consciousness. And you have the third level, which is the beings that perform the actions of creation and carry on and the process of creation in general, which we call the archangels. And they are the logos behind each one of those stars.
They're the logos behind the stars, and that's what we're working with. Now, there's three particular stars that we are working with this stellar code.
Yes. With this stellar code, we're going to work basically with the constellation of Lyra, because the constellation of Lyra symbolize also the same journey that we had expressed in the constellation of Capricorn, which is an initiatic journey towards a higher degree of understanding and attunement with the energies of God and his third generational level, which is the stars, the logos, and the angels. So we chose Lyra because Lyra is the basic, where it's said by the ancient text that the entire human civilization was inspired by and used by, and the matrix, the first matrix of 12 strands DNA was a Lyrian matrix. So in order to go back to God, we need that energy, the primeval energy, to be restored on us and to liberate us from this distorted pattern of vibration and functioning as the human race is facing right now in this process of transformation that we are. There are three major stars. And interesting enough, they're stars that all represent either the birds of heavens or the heavenly waters or the earthly heaven. We are using the star Vega, which is known as the Vulturum Cadens, which means the falling vulture. We're using Cygnus, that symbolizes the swan. And we're using Aquila, which is the symbolic, the person personified by eagle.
Well, it's Aquila is the constellation, and the star within the constellation is Altair.
Yeah, he pronounces differently than me. It's Altair. But anyhow, those are the three codes and why they're using. Because it's necessary for us to go back of what our own, I would say the crib of where we came from, in order to restore the memory and to release the old patterns that were installed on us through, I would say, even past lifetimes or through ancestry line or whatever you want to call this, or even warping of the matrix for various reasons, let's just say, or accumulated karmic debris, let's just say that. So to be very simplifying to the least here, we go through every single aspect of that in any every book of the Stellar Code. But this is, we go back to our origins on those three stars and a constellation of Lyra and bring the codes. And basically, when you assess those energies, you are able to literally create wings. And through wings of the bird people or the bird constellations, you can fly to the higher dimensions that your being is and was conceived to be. This is the main goal of this Stellar Code. It's not only open you for a new realization of yourself, but it's to amplify the potential of being more soul-infused, to open up one more, I would say, inch or two, your Antakarana, which is your connection with the central channel and the higher levels.
The Antakarana, the building of the Antakarana, is one of the central themes of the Stellar Codes. Everybody has the connection from their higher self to the lower self through the silver cord that's called the Sutrama. Now, when we intentionally build a bridge back from our lower self to our higher self, this is a concept that's called Antakarana. And the ability to connect and to be more soul-infused is significantly bigger when you intentionally build your connection back to your soul. What the texts tell us is that the Sutrama that is
or the original Sutrama.
Original Sutrama, or the silver cord, is essentially the diameter of your thumb. When you build the Antakarana back, you're building back a connection about the size of your head. And you can imagine the increased flow back and forth
of energy,
of energy, of love, of light, of healing, is so much greater because just the diameter of the connection.
And the interesting thing is this, because God, the Source, never stopped pouring upon you blessings and gifts. But, people say, well, I am stuck. There's nothing good happening in my life. What is wrong with you? If it's really one thing that doesn't change ever is the nature of God. He's not the jealous God of the Bible, by the way. The real God,
or the greater God
is, immutable. He cannot help but love. He doesn't judge. He really doesn't. So he continues pouring indefinitely, constantly, the same energy of love, loving energy of creation, nonstop. If you're not getting it, it's not because he's not getting it, to you. He's not getting to you. It's not because he's saying, I'm not going to send to you because I'm punishing you. You put a damper on this for some reason. So you have to make, you have, in any spiritual path, spiritual work is work. You have to do your part in order to receive. Because if you have all this channel not developed or not, clean and not really attuned, and your chakras not developed, you are not going to receive the plenitude that you have the potential to. And the simple reason is, an instrument just plays good music when it's perfectly tuned. So imagine yourself as an instrument that needs tuning. And as we change, and as we want to play different musics in order to do a symphony or play with the symphony of cosmos, or then play along with the music of spheres, you have to attune yourself. And the best way you can. And the only way to do that is learn the master notes of each one of those stars, because they together do this really beautiful dance on the cosmos.
They're called the music of the spheres.
The music of the spheres. So this is one point. Now, back to Lyra code.
It's very easy to get sidetracked, and I'm going to interject one off-topic thing again, is when we talk about building the Anacorana back. What we're doing with the stellar codes here is we're facilitating. This is actually something that you are doing. We're giving you the tools and making the helping with the initial connection, and it's you and your higher self, your lower self and your higher self, that builds this connection. It's not something we can give you. We can't do it for you. It's something that you have to create and build and practice and grow yourself.
What we do is we install Akka cords. They're temporary, but your internal work will help you to keep this attunement perfect and always. And once it's giving, cannot be removed, can be not utilized. You know, and will not harm you.
But nobody can take it from you.
Nobody can take from you, because this is what you call a spiritual gift. Now, we're not saying that we deliver a spiritual gift. What we say is we open your channels to you receive the spiritual gift, and from there build yourself. We're not, it's never been our intention or humanity healing intention to make anybody codependent. We want to form masters. We don't want to form dependent people, I need this, I need that. No, you are able. You are self-aware. You're a servant being. You know how to do it. You can do it.
And this is also, that for that very reason, is why that we have made a commitment that we will train 72 master teachers in the stellar codes. And after that, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to train past that 72, because we don't want this to be about us. This is something that's coming down, and then others will take it forward.
Yeah, that's our biggest idea, is basically that we will give this instrument to others so they can replicate this in their own way and make their practice and understand, you know, that this has a historical and a lineage that has been with us for the longest time. Now, this is nothing, again, this is not New Age. This is ageless wisdom. This is not something that is coming from channeling. This is not something that will be, seen and or publicized in one way or another, because those codes and those procedures, they are extremely personal and non-transferable. So once you receive it, this is yours to give to others, but with responsibility, with,
with all gifts comes with responsibility.
So what we're talking about here is the acquisition of different gifts. And one of the gifts that you have with this initiation in Lyra constellation through the influence of Capricorn is the gift of discernment. And this is what we call, you know, it's an ancient, it's a forgotten gift of the spirit, which the Greek call nepsis. Nepsis is a very interesting concept, because it means of, you have parallels in other religions. And in religions like the Buddhism, nepsis
refers to mindfulness.
But the nepsis is a gift of a sober mind. It's a gift that you develop a reasoning through the opening of your heart chakra and your third chakra at the same time, creating a connection that you can see real situations. They're not necessarily only from the third dimension or your daily life, but you will be able to, through nepsis, which is a gift, you're able to even see when somebody is lying, even though they are the best actors. you can see when they're lying or when there is not an entire truth in a situation, because you will open yourself to a very interesting virtue, which is a sober mind. And a sober mind just can't come if you overcame certain demands of your ego. And to do that, you have to progressively work towards a goal of being a being that's a completely hands of your higher self. So, this is basically what we want to say. Now, there are two, I was talking about the archetypical journeys, because we usually refer all the...
Well, if you look at the 12 labors of Hercules, which is one of the things, one of the tools we use for teaching in the Stellar Code program, because Hercules was a man, but he was also
a demigod.
He was the son of Zeus. And the purpose of the 12 labors was basically his personal ascension process. And the stories of the 12 labors, in them, you can find the clues that towards ascension. You know, how you recognize the divinity and become one with God.
Exactly, or what kind of work you have to do. And, of course, those are mythological metaphors for each one of the work that has to be done. For instance, the mythological work to Antares was the cleaning of the stables, which was said that the cows were there for 1,000 years and the stables were never clean. This is a metaphor for karmic residues and debris that accumulate not only on our bloodlines, but also in our extra-physical bodies, and they need to be removed in order for you to, in order to integrate all your extra-physical bodies in one and be fully realized is two in one lifetime.
And also to be able to expand. So in that particular stellar code, there was considerable ancestral cleaning to get rid of it. But that's the archetypical journeys we have of Hercules this time. It's kind of interesting with this code because we have two.
Yeah, we have actually two stages, because exactly to express the nature of the Capricorn, which is one for, internal journey, which is to you towards God, or, the person, or Hercules toward God, and the other external journey. When you realize, God realized in yourself, you know you're part of God. I mean, you're not God, but you're part of God. You're not a God yourself to substitute God. You are a co-creator with him.
So, to be able to be his hands.
To be his hands. And when you do this other journey outward to help others in order to be the hands of God. So there is two type of archetypical journey from Hercules here, one inward and the other one outward.
Now the inward journey here, the inward archetypal journey, is the binding of Servius, which was the three-headed hound of hell.
And the fun thing about this is the same team of Capricorn. You have to leave behind the garments of ego. That's what I was trying to get. The garments of ego in order to cross a spiritual threshold in order to access sacred ground. On the case of Hercules, he, after the last telecos where we were, that he went and killed the boar, the wild boar. He ended up, through his last ego movement.
He fell into with his three lower chakras and ended up desiring wine. And during this whole process, it fired up the centaurs, and he decided he was going to chase them off with arrows. And in this whole process, he wounded his master, the person that was teaching
was Kira,
him,
Kira.
Which was Kira.
And after, he went and killed a boar, he came back to Kiran and said, "Kiran, what can I do to relieve your pain?" And Kiran put his hand on his forehead and say, "See this." And what Hercules saw in his vision was a man suffering with this ego coming from heaven and eating part of his liver during the nighttime, and the liver was restored. No,
was restored.
Day,
well, during
restored.
The day it was restored. This was Prometheus, and Prometheus was chained because he gave fire to man.
So he saw that, and then he said, what you want me to do, Master? Because he really wanted a journey of redemption of what he had done and to damage the person that most gave him during his entire life. So what Kiran wanted was to substitute Prometheus and die in his place, so he would be relieved from the mortal wound that never could heal. And so in order to do that, he had to go to the underworld. So you have there a very interesting basic, I would say, theme on the Greek mythology, which is in every Greek mythology, you have the hero that goes down to the underworld and comes outside to a pilgrimage, to a hard period of time of period of purification. When you go down and face the most terrible nightmares of a man, you know, this is the other part of the Capricorn, the fish goat. Go down. So he had to go to the underworld, talk with the god of the underworld.
He went down, he talked to Hades, and Hades was, of course, was furious that a mortal man was in his kingdom.
Yeah, but this is also a metaphor. To enter the kingdom of the underworld, he had to strip himself from the eagle garment to go down there as a human being, open, and say, I want to release that man. And then what the god of the underworld told him is like, it's fine with me if you conquer my dog.
Yeah, you've got to get past my dog. You know, bring Cerberus back here. You know, and you can set Prometheus free.
Well, because he knew that nobody would pass Cerberus, but he did, and that was the last one of the last phases of challenge, where you face the demon of the portal, or the one that's guarding the secrets, or the final integration with what you want to be.
And this is an aspect of this particular stellar code that if you do the program with us, there'll be more information about it. And this is the dweller at the threshold, and this is represented by Cerberus.
And so what he does, that he goes there, gets Cerberus, he kills the eagle, he releases Prometheus, and Chiron takes his place. So he gave Chiron his last wish because he needed to redeem himself for the bad deeds of his eagle. And this time he could go out and start again. Start again, but now in another level. So the next task that he receives after this one is to eliminate what you call the Staphylian birds.
Now, this is the outer journey. Inner journey, so this one's the outer journey.
The outer journey, it was supposed to kill those, you know, birds that were saying by the myth that were man-eaters.
Oh, these were fascinating creatures. They looked a lot like what the harpies were, but they were man-eaters. They were terrorizing the neighborhood, you know, eating everybody. And the problem was you couldn't just go and catch them because they'd fly up in the air.
And so he was commanded to get rid of those animals, and nothing could scare them. So he got with the goddess Athena's that gave him a special device that I don't know how to pronounce, but, you know, it was like give a sound, and he was able to kill one by one. But he didn't do this for himself. He did this for the population that was suffering through the...
Underneath
this evil. Now, this was the two journeys on one stellar code. The redemption part, which is the final part of the cleansing of what is pertinent to your ego part, and the starting on the journey outward, that now as a fully realized human being, stripped by the ego itself, it's able to face and see something that is not necessarily...
This is the steps towards world service.
The world service. So all of this, all of the other tasks that he was doing for himself, even to prove that he was this powerful, or he was this strong, or he could conquer his divinity. But when he faced with the worst that he could provoke, that's when he had a change of heart. And for that, he went down to the underworld and come back on the other side. So this is the journey of redemption of, you know, when you really see how much the ego should be contained and educated. Because, again, I'm going to reinstate the same concept we had before. We're not saying about annihilating the ego.
No, the ego is an important part of us.
Yes, because, you know, in order to function in 3D, as we all are here right now, maybe one day we're going to be 5D, but right now we're 3D. And this is the beauty of living on the now. This is the world we have, and this is the world that we have to learn how to live in. You have two things. Actually, you need two things to operate in this world. You need a physical body, and you need an ego. So that's how you come. You come as a soul, you receive your enchilada. It comes a physical body, it comes an ego. Those are two devices that are absolutely necessary for you to, I would say the third one is your astral body, because you need a light body. You know, you already come with one too. But the ego is necessary. Annihilating the ego will not make do any good. Ego is, I would use, there's an expression in the Hindu tradition, the ego should be domesticated and educated, so you can wear your ego around your neck as a jewel.
It's our goal, our journey, you know, the destination of the spiritual journey is to bring our ego in alignment with our soul, so that we are living and working our soul's purpose here on this plane of existence. That's one of the things that we're working towards as we build back the personal anacarana.
Exactly, because the ego is uniqueness of this energy expressing in 3D. It's not, there's nobody that's just like you in the world. Doesn't matter. It may look alike, it may have a twin, but, you know, it's nothing. You have a personal signature that is recognizable in anywhere else in this universe and in the multiverse. And this is done by the ego. So the ego should never be annihilated. The ego should be educated. And this is the entire idea of educating the ego and working towards, you know, an integration of all your bodies and all your elements. We are made of this, you know, we are like a diamond of many elements.
Many facets.
All right.
Are you ready to open up?
Yes. Yes. We can. We can talk forever.
Or is there another? I mean, we could discuss Maat and how she's.
Oh no! That this. Yeah, we can go in the
other. Tell you what. I'm going to come and we're going to open the teleconference up to
questions.
To everybody. Questions. I've got to hit star 7. Hold on a minute.